at East 10th Street. Be there or be inarticulated.
This is Carlotta Joy Walker, part-time. Healing energy always rejuvenates trust. Trust, imagine, metamorphize, evolve. And I'm here just to thank you. Thank you for constantly rejuvenating our trust. Thank you for your new membership. Thank you for renewing your memberships. And thank you for paying your pledges, those of you who have not done that yet. And thank you for being a part of us and supporting us.
Okay, and this is radio station WBAI New York, where the time is 7:05, 55 minutes early, but we're here early this week, a special edition of Off the Hook.
No matter what people say, these songs lead the way. It's out of your day from Boss DJ, Don.
Okay, now you can say that you heard the whole thing. That's that's where it came from. That's where the Off the Hook theme originally came from, way back in the old days. And we sometimes do that when we do an extended show, because it's the extended mix, I guess. The song is called Much Worse, comes from Don Lutz and Big Audio Dynamite. And if you can find that on CD, you're better than I am, because I can only find it on vinyl, and I can't even find that anymore. It's on the flip side of a single called Just Play Music. So that's the story there. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. The program is Off the Hook. We have a special three-hour edition tonight, and we have all kinds of things planned. Isaac will be coming in a little while. Laszlo is here now. How you doing, Laszlo?
I've been over here bartering Sasquatch dollars for quarters for your car, which is downstairs illegally.
Yeah, we got to deal with that. I'll tell you, it was an unbelievable challenge getting in today. I left a good 3 hours early to make sure I got here on time, but Mother Nature was not cooperating, because a little bit of drizzle makes everybody in the expressway drive 15 miles an hour. And when I got to Wall Street, I don't know what they're doing down there, but there's cops everywhere. They're closing off all the roads. They're making you go on these wild, like, patterns that go in all different directions.
There's a race down there. I saw a bunch of guys in suits running.
Well, it wasn't a race to get here. It was an ordeal to get here. But I got here, and that's the important thing, and we're here today. Bringing you all kinds of fascinating things. We're going to be talking to some people in various parts of the country, some of whom you know, some of whom you might not know. Laszlo, what have you been up to in the last few months? It's been since you've been in the studios here.
Yeah, you know, doing my daily syndicated radio feature called The Technophile. Uh-huh. Lately, I've been working on a video game.
Mm-hmm. A video game?
Yeah. It's called Grand Theft Auto 3.
So who did Grand Theft Auto 2 and 1?
Well, the same guys.
Oh, okay. But you're working on 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, every time you get into a car, there's a radio station on. Mm-hmm. Well, when you steal a car.
Right.
And there's a different radio station on, and it's my job to do all the DJs and the music and the commercials. And the DJs say stuff like, you know, here's another one picked by our consultants. Or, you know, mm-hmm. It's basically a big bash of corporate radio. It's good fun.
Corporate radio, boy, don't get me started on
that. Well, I'm going to, because I've got a nice 10-page Clear Channel report, a Clear Channel update for you.
So you want to tell the folks now that we've been bought up by Clear Channel and we start the Top 40 tomorrow morning?
It had to happen.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be the best Top 40 in town, though. You know, we're going to be a different Top 40. We'll play the same songs, but we'll just announce them differently.
Excellent.
I can just see the emails being sent right now and the phone calls, phone hotlines being started. No. This is WBAI, and we're going to stay WBAI until...
Are we doing a fundraiser? Is that the deal?
Yeah, fundraiser is today, and we...
Because that's the only time you ever invite me is, oh, Laszlo, come tell
actually,
us about corporate radio.
And I want to make this clear for the record, the invitation is open all the time, and I certainly would enjoy having you here more. So feel free. The show is on every Tuesday from 8 to 9. Come on by anytime. You're most welcome. But you're especially welcome during the fundraiser, because you bring this perspective from commercial radio that a lot of people just will never see. Mostly because we never listen to commercial radio, but also because those of us who do listen to commercial radio don't realize the crap that goes on behind the scenes and how awful and nasty it is. But we're going to get into that in a little bit, because I want to tell a story first. I want to tell the story about what happened over this past few days. It was a real... you've been following the case, right? The whole Ford case.
Yeah, because you use bad words.
Use bad words, yeah. A really bad word followed by GeneralMotors.com. And we thought it would be fun to, you know, to bounce that various places. One of the places we wound up bouncing it was Ford, and they sued us because we did that. They didn't ask us to move it someplace else. They just sued us for no other reason than they didn't like that four-letter word pointing at their site with their competitor's name after it.
Because it's trademark infringement. How dare you
speak
their name without sending them money or something?
It was the weirdest thing. I mean, you know, you would expect them to claim something like defamation of character, but instead they claim trademark infringement. So it was a very bizarre, weird thing.
So you're infringing on somebody's trademark if you say a curse word next to it.
Well, we can just say, we didn't say their name, you know.
You said somebody else's.
We said the equivalent of GeneralMotorsSucks.com, but we didn't. We said another word instead, because those words were able to be registered for the first time ever, actually, since NSI started censoring things years ago. They used to be able to be registered. But back in 1999, I believe, it opened up so all these words could be registered again, and there was kind of a run on them, and big corporations with those words surrounding them were the first to go. So we got General Motors, we got ABC, we got NBC. No, we didn't get ABC. We got NBC and CBS. ABC and Fox were gone before.
How many domain names do you own?
I don't know. I've lost track.
You must get like a bill every day for one of your domain names.
Here's the thing. We didn't even advertise this at all. We didn't talk about this site. We never mentioned it to anybody until the lawsuit threat started coming in. First, the first lawsuit threat came from General Motors. That's when we were pointing it at General Motors. You know, you type F space or, you know, F and you know what, generalmotors.com. You'd go to General Motors. Well, somebody at General Motors must have done that on their own because they found it and they sent us this nasty letter. If you go to our site, www.2600.com, and look in the news archives in October, you'll see a copy of the letter they sent us, basically telling us to knock it off and give them the site. I guess they wanted it for their own uses. But we told them that was not a possibility, that this was something called freedom of speech and that we had every right to do this, you know, as distasteful as it might sound or as they might find it. And that was pretty much the end of it. At that point, we pointed it to various other places, including a lemon site, a site that had to do with people reporting lemon cars. Now, apparently, because of all the news stories surrounding the original General Motors story, that wound up getting us a lot of traffic, a lot more traffic than we ordinarily would have had since we never mentioned the site to anybody. And this poor guy who was running the lemon site was getting all this traffic out of nowhere that he never saw before, which, you know, most times it's good, but when you're borrowing bandwidth from somebody and, you know, you're kind of living day to day, it wasn't good in this case. He sent us an email saying, please, I'm going to have to move someplace else if this doesn't stop. So, you know, it was a letter to us asking us to move it someplace else. And of course, you know, the right thing to do would be to move it someplace else. And we did. We moved it to Ford. Now, Ford apparently didn't like it being pointed at them either, but they didn't send us a little letter. They didn't send us anything. They didn't even send us a cease and desist letter.
They didn't even say please.
They didn't say anything. All they did was get their lawyers on us and actually sue us. Just bang, sue, like that.
Can't you just, like, send them an apology or something and say we're sorry?
Well, I'm not sorry. I have nothing to apologize for. We pointed a site someplace, and if they don't like it, they can lump it, or they can ask nicely, and maybe we'll move it. But we have the right to link to wherever we want to link. It's always been the case with the Internet. That's how the web works. You link to various things. If you start saying that you cannot link because you did not have permission or because you're misrepresenting yourself, which we were not doing, if you did a whois lookup on our site, you knew who owned it. That's how they found us, after all. If you start doing that, if you start making a precedent in this case, all of a sudden the whole concept of links goes straight out the window. And before you know it, you can't link to WBAI unless you get permission from WBAI, you know, and WBAI isn't going to give permission unless you pay us. How do you like that? You know, that's where it could go. And that's how the entire net could change.
See, but you're distracting Ford from its real mission of shutting down American factories and opening up sweatshop factories overseas.
It's very interesting you should say that. It's very interesting you should say that because I've got quite a story to tell you. Well, first, let me tell you about the caravan. We had a little caravan to the hearing last Friday. We actually took the 2600 van, which is an old phone company van, repainted to look like a phone company van and with our logos on it and everything like that. And we took it all the way to Detroit via Canada. We took the thruway up, and we made all kinds of stops along the way. I stopped in Poughkeepsie, met quite a few people there. Syracuse.
I'm on the air in Poughkeepsie.
You're on the air in Poughkeepsie?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped in Syracuse.
I'm on the air there, too.
How about Buffalo?
Rochester.
I said Buffalo.
Okay, no.
Yeah. Buffalo's kind of a weird town, you know. You pass a lot of these towns, and they seem kind of like empty and depressed, and there's like nothing really going on there. A lot of abandoned buildings, and you know, Buffalo's not that bad, but it's pretty bad. It's pretty sad to be there. Actually, I just always feel that way. I've been to Buffalo several times. We stopped, got some wings at one of the wings. We couldn't go to the main wing place because it closed at 10 o'clock at night. 10 o'clock at night. But we went to this other one, and I got the suicide wings. I had to sign a little certificate, you know, release. They take it very seriously up there. But then we went over to Canada. All right, we drove across the border to Canada. And this is the reason I went this way. People said I should have gone the more direct way on the Pennsylvania Turnpike or something. And I should have, you know, gone for speed. But, you know, I didn't want to go for speed. I wanted to go for people. I wanted to go for interesting things. And I always get this whenever I go to Canada. I always get interesting things, you know, diversity. Someone told me that Canada considers itself, well, actually, let me tell you what we consider ourselves. What's the United States usually called?
Number one.
Well, apart from that, it's yeah, the thing that immigrants are
A melting pot.
A great melting pot. Now, in Canada, they call themselves a mosaic. A mosaic. Now, consider the difference between a melting pot and a mosaic. A melting pot is where you throw everybody into a pot, and all their differences are just kind of merged into one big blob, all right? Whereas a mosaic has all kinds of different patterns to it, all kinds of different colors and shapes. And that really does sum up Canada a lot more, because you see people of ethnic diversity there who remain who they are. They are not forced to speak one particular language and not forced to do things one particular way, and they're not fed this nationalistic attitude that we're constantly getting here. And, you know, it's just so much better as far as not getting hassled. I think the whole time we were in Canada, we went to Toronto, Windsor, London, and there was one other along the way, whose name I forget, and I'm sorry. I don't think I saw more than two cop cars. Now, there is no city in this country where you will not see half a dozen within 30 seconds. It's really getting crazy. It really is. And you have to wonder, you have to take a good look back. It wasn't like this years ago. You didn't see police everywhere. And not only are they everywhere, they're obnoxious. They plow through red lights. You know, they just disregard. I mean, the rudeness I had to deal with downstairs just getting here. You know, I was trying to find out, well, what's the best way to get here? And you know, I thought I was going to get shot if I asked another question. That's the looks I was getting. Anyway, so that's one of the reasons I like to cut through our neighbors to the north. It just seems a lot saner.
They are much saner up there.
Are you carried in Canada?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. They have weird rules on how much programming you can, as a Canadian radio station, there's rules about how much other
Canadian
outside
content
you can air and all this other stuff, which part of me is like, wow, that's really silly, but another part of me is like, we churn out a whole lot of crap down here, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, while I don't like that, I understand where it comes from because, yeah, as you say, they're barraged with garbage. And you can lose your national identity pretty damn easily if you don't take steps. They shouldn't have to take these steps.
Speaking of losing identity, you know, at some point I should start saying the phone number over and over again.
Yeah, actually, we're getting pledges even though we're not asking for
money, which is the best part.
212-209-2950 is our phone number.
2950.
And if you if you've gotten something out of Off the Hook over the many years we've been on since 1988. Please call us now and make a pledge. We have several levels of pledging, which our volunteers will be happy to help you with, and we'll talk about in just a moment.
And if you donate at the $500 level, you get a signed copy of one of the lawsuits that Emmanuel's been.
Yeah. You know, we went to Niagara Falls.
Who are these people you're with?
Well, I'm not going to give out names, but basically,
Merry pranksters.
Well, you know, we didn't get like 25 cars in a row, but what we mostly got were people in town meeting us that we saw, you know, we met up with that showed their support. I mean, not everybody can just hop in a car and drive across country, and it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. But we were getting I set up my Sprint phone to receive email. And every half hour, at least, I get a piece of email. It would alert me that someone else was interested in the caravan and was, wanting more information, wanted to meet us someplace. And that alone was pretty cool, just feeling like you were in touch with everybody as things, went on. But standing there in Niagara Falls on the Canada side, it was something like 2 in the morning. It was really late, all right? There was nobody around. Now, what do you think happens if you go to a national park in this country and hang out in a phone company van at 2 in the morning when nobody's around?
The pigs are going to harass you.
You're going to get SWAT teams. You're going to get all kinds of people approaching you thinking, I mean, I don't know what they would think we were going to do, to the falls, blow them up or something, but it doesn't matter. You know, we live in such paranoia that, anything is suspect. We parked on the side of a road that said no parking, hung out for half an hour, and just took in the falls in the middle of the night. Nobody said anything to us. Nobody bothered us. People walked by, didn't say anything. It was cool. No pressure.
Well, then what are we doing here? Let's move to Canada.
Well, yeah, a lot of people do suggest that.
Oh, I like it. I was in Vancouver. They got this place called the Blunt Brothers.
Mm-hmm. It's the same. Okay. It's the same thing.
It's like Amsterdam over there.
It's the same philosophy that I like to carry on to this place, this radio station. I know a lot of things are going on here at the radio station that many people are upset with. And, you know, what do you do about it? Do you stay and try to make things better? Or do you leave and go somewhere else and listen to K-Rock or Z100 or something like that?
K-Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you see, it's the same basic mentality. Either you stay and try to make something better, or you give up and go someplace else where it's not better, and you know, and you live with that. You know, you kind of give up.
Right, and once it's gone, it's gone.
That's right.
It ain't coming back.
That's right.
Can I see the phone number again?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's 212-209-2950. You can win fabulous prizes from Emmanuel.
Well, yeah, you might, but I can't guarantee that.
Well, don't you have any kind of junk to give away?
Well, yeah, we do. Actually, let me talk about that now, since it's already 27 minutes. Boy, the time is flying into this this time. We have guests lined up that want to speak to us. 212-209-2950. We have two calls on the line. Now, we have, I believe, three pledge levels. Now, let's... and if I'm wrong about this, someone from Tally, please come charging in here and correct me, but I believe this is what we have. We'll start from the high pledges and go down. Of course, you can go higher than the high pledges. There's no limit to how high you can go. We deliberately make that right. The case. We don't set limits here.
You need fancy names for them, though. Do you have, like, platinum, gold?
Well, you're a commercial radio. You can come up with a fancy name.
Well, no, here's my recommendation.
I'm just going to give you the practical stuff.
No, if you give it the Bernie S. level, then you...
If you give it the Bernie S. level, you're going to get a black eye and, like, you know, crutches for
but,
years.
And if you give it the Mitnick level, then you get a signed trash can lid.
You get long imprisonment if you...
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the higher level?
Which basically...
Mitnick.
Basically is... $200 is the high level right now, and that gets you all of the back issues of 2600. Now, 2600 has been coming out for quite some time. It's really kind of scary how long we've been coming out for. In case you don't know, it's the Hacker Quarterly. We've been coming out since 1984, and we are giving away every single issue we put out from 1984 through the year 2000.
Do you just have these sitting around your crib? What's the story with
that? We have a warehouse, actually.
A warehouse.
We actually have a warehouse.
Well,
whatever you might want to define it as.
Something.
It's a big space, because you need a lot of space for all these. I mean, there's a lot of issues. It's really piling up.
Okay, so you get every issue that's ever been printed.
Right, and that's if you average that out, I think we sell them for $20 a year. So multiply that by 17, which is how many years it's been going out for, and you're the math wizard, figure it out. It's $340. All right, so we're offering that for $200, so it's a good deal. You know, you can't get it for less, but that's not the reason you should call. You should call because you want to support this place and keep us going and keep the radio station here, keep this show on the air, and this is what we have to do because we don't have commercials. Now, there's another level. That's the $100 level, which is every... it's called the 2600 clothing line, I guess you can call it that.
2600 clothing,
the
word.
The clothing line, yes. and basically, we have several shirts. We have the Forteza encryption shirt. We have the Blue Box Diagram shirt, which is a blue box. We have the Motion Picture Association of America lawsuit shirt, which normally we sell as a fundraiser, but we're donating it ourselves this time. We even have the special limited edition white shirts that we have too many of from 1997.
White shirts.
Well, apparently people don't like white shirts, but we're going to throw that in anyway.
No, people like white shirts.
Well, you're getting it no matter what.
What is a white shirt?
It's a white 2600 shirt with kind of the history of 2600 from 1984 to 1997. So we have some of those left over. We also have two hats. We have the 2600 hat and the H2K hat.
What about H2K
and
t-shirts?
H2K shirts? I'm sorry, I forgot those. So how many shirts is that? That's something like five shirts and two hats for a total of $100. I mean, that's a good deal too. 212-209-2950.
So you said 209-2950.
Right.
I was going to say it slower.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to fit it all in. There's just so much to...
Dude, this is terrible. We only got $100.
Well,
I got to start reading the McDonald's
calls.
Commercials.
We also have three calls on the line. Now, we also have one other level, and this is going to be included in the $100 level
all right,
as well.
So far we have the Bernie S. level, the Fiverr. All right.
Actually, you know what? It's going to be included in the $200 level
okay.
as well. But basically, right. it's the new T-shirt, which has not yet been designed, but will be coming out probably in about, what do you think, a month or so?
I would say a month.
A month or so. We have no idea what's going to be on this shirt, but you can be one of the people to be first in line to get it if you pledge any of these pledges. we'll be including that. So 212-209-2950, $50 pledge, $100 pledge, $200 pledge, and you can keep going from there.
How do you not go completely broke? Because you're always giving away all this junk when we do fundraisers.
It's weird. You know, a lot of people say that we should be going completely broke. A lot of people say that we can't possibly afford the things that we do, like have conferences in the middle of New York City, be sued by major corporations, and do all kinds of other things, print a magazine, and just a lot of the projects we're involved in, making films. I don't know how we stay in business, but we do.
I'm glad you're doing it, because I got bigger issues like vinyl siding.
Yeah. Well, I don't get vinyl siding for one thing. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, if you have a will to survive, you're going to survive one way or another. That's what keeps this place going. That's what keeps the radio station on the air since 1960, is the will to survive. If you asked the average person, could such a place exist, the answer would be no. But somehow we do it. Somehow we stay on the air. Somehow we keep publishing. Somehow we fight these lawsuits against these mega corporations. It's all part of the same spirit, and it comes from support. We asked people to help support us in the lawsuit. We stuck something up on our internet store, basically giving people the opportunity to just, you know, donate money to go towards the legal fees, which we're carrying this time. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, while they're behind us in this fight, they're kind of tapped out by the MPAA lawsuit.
Oh, they didn't help on the Ford thing?
They couldn't. And I totally understand why. I'd feel bad if, you know, we kept taking money from these civil liberties groups, and they were going bankrupt because of us. You know, this one we kind of have to fight on our own. Financially, anyway, we have the support of all kinds of people.
That's got to be costing a lot of bread.
It is. So we put something up on the internet store asking for people to help out. Within one day, we raised 1/20th of the total legal cost in one day. That is something. That is amazing. So we are going to make it through this one way or another. Even if we lose, we're going to make it through this. I know that. Anyway, let me tell you more about the case, because that's really what I wanted to talk about when I was talking about the caravan. And again, the number is 212-209-2950. Please, let's see those calls keep coming in. We see two on the line, and hopefully...
but this number keeps sitting at 100. I'm getting extremely depressed.
Yeah.
Let's just sell the station.
Don't depress us. Anyway, so the hearing was in Detroit on Friday. And I'm not good at these things. You know, I don't really like courtrooms. I've been in a lot of them recently. I've been there for Shapeshifter. I've been there for the MPAA. I've been there for all kinds of things lately. It's been one big legal battle. And this one was the weirdest of them all. Because imagine being dragged into court in Detroit, of all places, because you have a domain name with a four-letter word in it that someone doesn't like where you're pointing it. Now, we had a lot of people show up in the courtroom. In fact, the courtroom was filled with... I imagine they were all our supporters. They looked like our supporters, and we hung out with a few of them afterwards. And it was just a really kind of surreal situation where we were trying to explain that having this website did not in any way imply that Ford was voicing the sentiments of what the General Motors site was saying. Ford was there on their side, and it was... I had a tough time keeping a straight face. That's how crazy their argument was. You know, basically saying that there are people all over the place being confused, somehow typing four-letter word generalmotors.com on their own, and then taking offense when it goes to Ford, and thinking that Ford did this and that they're behind it. First of all, the very idea that corporate America would engage in such practices against their competitors really seems kind of strange to me. I couldn't imagine that myself. But
see, that town doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, I'm going to get into that, too. That town does not make a whole lot of sense.
There's like five blue-collar rock stations in that town, and they're all playing like Sammy Hagar. And the number one morning show, do you know who it's hosted by?
Probably Howard Stern, right?
The Nuge, baby. Ted Nugent.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, again, I'm going to get into the town in just a second, because I've got some things to say about that. But... basically, we presented our case, each side, and I think we did a really, really good job. I mean, it was great to have a lawyer on our side that understood the technology and was able to just get right to the heart of the matter. And I think the judge, you know, I might be wrong in this, but I think the judge was actually listening, asking the right questions, and wanting to make a fair decision, despite the fact that this is a Detroit judge in the land of the auto that basically was... you know, was there because Ford, you know, filed this lawsuit. It should have been done in New York because we have, you know, no business in Detroit to start with, but because they're there, we had to go there. It was significant that the ruling was not issued right then on the spot. The injunction could have been issued that would have forced us to not link anymore, and that would have been it. But that didn't happen. He took it under advisement, and 2 days later, Monday and Tuesday have gone by. There's still no ruling, no judgment that we have to not link there. So we'll see how it goes. I think it was very significant, interesting case. I know a lot of people don't see the significance in the case, and there's not much I can say to those people, but just because there's a four-letter word in it does not mean it's not speech.
Yeah, people see it as kind of like a silly prankster thing. There's a bigger issue here.
Yeah, there's a much bigger issue here.
Is not being able to say certain things mm-hmm. on the net because a corporation doesn't approve.
The first speech that will be attacked is the speech that people find offensive. And then after that, it's the ideas people find offensive. Then the speech and the ideas that isn't so offensive, you know, except maybe to a few people. And, you know, it just goes on from there. So, yeah, this is something that we have to fight, even if we don't agree with the sentiment, and even if we find the sentiment somewhat repulsive. You know, I did not want to even utter the word in court. Unfortunately, we didn't have to. It was, a rather uncomfortable thing. Keep in mind, we did not publicize this at all. We didn't seek out advertising for this site in the first place. It was kind of forced upon us.
Did you wear a suit?
All right. Well, since you brought that up, I was told that I had to wear a suit.
So I, by your lawyer?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was kind of coerced into doing that.
No, the MPAA case. Did you wear a suit then?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Why not? Because you're not going to conform to the man, or what's the?
Because they're not comfortable. Have you ever worn one of these things?
I know. My girlie made me get one.
Neckties and shoes that like make all your toes go together. It's
oppression,
really,
man.
It's uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. So yeah, I did. Just
did you have to buy one?
No, actually, my good friend Dave lent me one.
Lent you a suit?
Actually, yeah, we brought it up there. We brought this suit in the van all the way up there and got me dressed up Friday morning, and we actually...
Did you go out courting afterwards?
No, I actually, we went out visiting Ford afterwards.
Really?
In Dearborn, and that's where their headquarters are. Now, we found out later that there was a series of memos being issued, and hopefully somebody at Ford can forward these to us. That basically said that we understand that a bunch of hackers are going to be on the grounds. Now, they knew we were going to be on the grounds before we knew we were going to be on the grounds. And the weird thing was, we were driving the van all throughout these majestic grounds of Ford. I mean, you know, rolling fields and forests. And they have their own road system. They have roads. One of them is called the American Road. That's what it's called.
Is it?
Not American.
Is it littered? Is it littered with the debris of the Constitution?
No. Oh, it's completely clean.
Hey, look, we're at $350.
All right, we have to do a lot better than that, though. We have three calls on the line.
The phone number is 212-209-2950. If we don't get $1,000, we're selling the station to Clear Channel.
We can't do that. We can't issue that.
I can. Wait till I read this Clear Channel.
Laszlo, that's a threat. We don't threaten our listeners.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I also want to point out to the listeners, and I mentioned in passing that I know a lot of people are having trouble pledging this pledge drive, and I completely understand it. At 9 o'clock, we're on for 3 hours tonight. At 9 o'clock, we're going to have a special report from the listeners where you'll be welcome to call us, tell us how we're doing. Tell us how we're doing as a radio station, how we're doing as a radio show, how we're doing as the human race. Whatever it is that you have on your mind, you'll be able to call up at 9 o'clock. That's when we'll open up the phones, report from the listeners.
Okay, so you're on the American Road.
And they had another road called Card Access Road. Do not enter.
Card Access Road?
It was unbelievable. This place is just one big corporate hell. So we're driving around for a good half hour taking all kinds of pictures and things, and nobody's bothering us. You know, I'm thinking maybe we slipped over the border to Canada. No one's bothering us. Why is this? And then I found out about the memo, and I just imagined inside Ford, everybody who worked at Ford all gathered around in one big silent crowd looking out the window saying, what are they doing now? Are they coming for us? You know?
Right. Are they
scared to death of the hackers? You
are
know?
They sending frequencies to shut our computers down?
Unbelievable. So as soon as I see those memos, I'll know how serious they took everything. 212-209-2950. But okay, here's the thing. We went to the Ford headquarters, and it was nice and plush. But throughout the rest of the day or so we spent in Detroit, we drove around looking for various spots in Detroit that people told us to look at. Have you ever been to Detroit?
I was at Detroit, and I went to go see some Dead shows,
mm-hmm.
the Grateful Dead,
uh-huh.
and the police raided the Red Roof Inn, which was full of deadheads, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's all these deadheads on various substances or whatever,
uh-huh.
and they, like 15 people to a room. And the police, this is the mentality of the Detroit police, they raid these rooms and they say, if your name is not on the roster of the room, we want you to all get in your cars and drive around.
That seems to be the theme of Detroit, is drive around. But here's the thing. Everybody from Detroit, the people who showed up at the hearing, told me the same thing. They said that the mass transit in this city was destroyed by the auto industry. Completely destroyed, ripped up. They paid for it to be taken away. And now what you have in Detroit is a broken city. It's a city where you can't get from point A to point B. A city where so many people have moved out that it doesn't even technically qualify as a city anymore.
How do you not qualify as a city?
Apparently, if you're below 1 million people, you're not considered a major U.S. Well, city.
It's amazing what happens when you shut factories down and send them to Mexico.
I have never seen such devastation anywhere. And just driving through this town makes you think like some sort of war has happened. Like you're in some really backwards country where there is just no technology, no hope, no nothing. And I tell you, it was one of the saddest things I've ever seen, just looking at the complete devastation that just, it didn't stop. You just were driving and driving and driving, and the roads are in horrible shape. It's like they're unpaved completely. And very, very wide, huge, wide streets, but nothing. No stores, no houses, just burnt out shells. This is not just one little section of the town. This is most of the town. I always wondered why. Wasn't there a 2600 meeting in Detroit? Why was there only one in Ann Arbor? Now I know. There are no people. There's no people. And there's not enough people, and there's no way to get around. They have this little ridiculous thing called the people mover, a little two-car thing that goes back and forth. There's never any people on it. The people don't exist to go anyplace, and there's no place to go once they do exist.
But what's important is that cars are being made cheaply and sold cheaply at an inexpensive rate to the American public. And stockholders are making a lot of money.
If nothing else, what came out of all this was that I got to go to Detroit at the invitation of the auto industry, and I got to see just
what they've done to America,
what the auto industry has done. And I got to tell you, it made me angry seeing this. I mean, if you come out of Detroit, you really have, you know, come out of something. You know, I have a lot of respect for someone who can survive that. And accomplish something, you know, make something of themselves, you know, go on to something better. But I was imagining, what would happen if, you know, if I lived in that town, if that's how I got my start in life? It would be really easy to just completely give up on everything. You know, I even said at one point, if someone commits a horrible crime someplace, you know, blows up a building or commits a terrorist act or just becomes a mass murderer, if they come from Detroit, they should get a pass. That's my view on it.
No, see, dude, I come from Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
I think it may be worse there.
In Oklahoma?
Maybe.
I don't know. The point is, when I got back to New York, I was so happy to see all the life. It was 4 o'clock in the morning when we pulled into town. And, you know, things were hopping. Things were always hopping. So I don't in any way mean this as a put down for the people in Detroit, because I have a lot of respect for them just for surviving. But, man, I got to tell you, I'm really upset and annoyed at what has happened. And where it's gone.
Can I talk about radio yet?
We have 2 more hours.
Come on, dude. It's
2 more hours.
Oh, I've been in the show for 45 minutes, and so far, this is the theme has been Canada's really great, and Detroit sucks.
Yeah.
That's we ain't raising money listening to Emmanuel's list of vacation spots.
212-209-2950. Yeah, vacation, that's the word. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with a special guest who also is a victim of the auto industry. In a completely different way. This is Off the Hook. Stay tuned. This town is coming like a ghost town. All the clubs are being closed down. This place is coming like a ghost town.
And Ghost Town is a mild way of describing Detroit, that's for sure.
We need to remind people that if you give at the Kevin Mitnick level $200, you get every copy of 2600 ever printed on the face of planet Earth. And at the $100 level, do I have this right? At the Bernie S level, the $100 level, you get every T-shirt.
And hat, both.
And all you need to do is call 212-209-2950.
Call it now. There's one call on the line. And we're stuck at $550. We want to make several thousand tonight to justify our existence.
Do you know how much commercials are going for on a big station up in Boston now?
A lot.
$6,000 for a 60-second spot.
And you know, it doesn't even work. Advertising does not work.
Yes, it does. No, I love McDonald's.
Advertising sucks. Fortunately, we don't have advertising here on this radio station, and you can even say advertising sucks. You can say Ford sucks. You can say General Motors sucks. You can say all kinds of things suck that you can't say on commercial radio because they're not paying for this radio station.
212-209-2950.
You're paying for this radio station. The listeners of this radio station are what's paying for us.
If you give it the Isaac level, $10, he'll give you a call at home.
Isaac's going to be stepping in just a moment. He'll have a word to say to you. But in any event, we have the $75 pledge as well, which will get you the new mystery shirt of 2600, which has not yet been designed, but will be. 212-209-2950. And again, you can say whatever you want. You can say what sucks and what does not suck at 9 o'clock when we open up the phones, which is going to be hard because the phones aren't lighting. And physically, they're not lighting. The lights are broken on the call-in line, so we're going to have to somehow figure that out. With us on the phone today, we have one call on the line. Let's make that more than one call. 212-209-2950.
Who doesn't want every 2600 T-shirt for $100?
Yeah.
How much do you spend on liquor or beef jerky? I bet it's a lot of money.
Nothing.
Joining us on the phone from the great state of Michigan is Dan Morgan. Dan, you there?
Welcome to Detroit.
Well,
175 miles north of Detroit, to be exact.
Do you hear the Nuge?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I don't listen to him very much. I know him personally. I met him at a deer hunting camp and his son. The guy had such a bad attitude, it was incredible, so I just kind of ignored him the rest of the time I was there.
Have you seen his catalog? He has a catalog, and I
Oh, hunting supplies, yes, Fred Bear. I know all the whole gig there.
I urge you to get one and look at it. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
You know what's so funny is I worked in Detroit radio for about 10 years, and I got to tell you something. Detroit radio has changed so much since I was there. I don't even like to listen to it anymore. It's almost disappointing.
You have like five or six rock stations, don't you?
I worked for most of them.
Oh, did you?
And then I worked in Canada for a while back in the early 60 years at CKLW.
Hey, I know that station. That's in London, Ontario.
Well, it was actually right in Windsor.
Uh-huh.
On Olette Drive, is where I used to have to commute every day from Detroit back and forth. Knew all the guys at customs. They always waved and said, "Yes, I know you. You'll be back."
Are you owned by Clear Channel?
Pardon?
Are you owned by Clear Channel?
Were we a Clear Channel? We were Clear Channel, yes.
Well, the station that you're at now.
Oh, I'm not working in radio right now at all. Huh. I am kind of hiding in the bush.
Well, now, that's one of the reasons why we contacted you, to find out an update. Some people might remember that we had Dan on the show a couple of years ago, and you went head-to-head with General Motors. You want to tell us briefly what that was all about?
Okay, sure, Emmanuel. I used to publish a magazine here a few years ago called the Satellite Watch News. Satellite Watch News was a satellite TV industry magazine that reported on all aspects of the satellite TV industry, everything from who was buying who was selling who, the new channels being launched, the new satellites being launched, right down to the nitty-gritty, the unspoken, which was satellite hacking. And satellite hacking has been around since the big dish, the 10-foot dishes that I'm sure a lot of you folks have seen in people's backyards, way before the DirecTV system came out, the EchoStar system. And back during the early days, it was owned by a gentleman in Virginia. Well, I was a subscriber at the time, and the magazine was going to go away. Howard had enough. He was tired. He wanted to do something different, and I just couldn't see this magazine go away because it told not just one side of the story. It told everything about the satellite industry. There's two sides to every story. Much like the 2600 publication, they don't talk all about hacking. They talk about everything. They educate you. The magazine was very educational for me, being a satellite dealer. I really had no interest at the time of hacking. It's just that I like to see the whole picture. So I bought the magazine. I started publishing, carried it on for many years before I was even sued. I was served, and finally DirecTV come about, and they were hacked. But when they were hacked, DirecTV was in bed with an encryption system that was encrypted many years prior to them developing and launching their system here in the States. They were hacked in Europe. The encryption system was owned by NewsDataCom. It still is. They still buy from NewsDataCom. And it was totally hacked, so they knew that they were going to be using an encryption system that was wide open in Europe. And here it was in the United States, and it wasn't a year, not even, I want to say it was 7 months before it was being hacked here in the United States. So they bought into something they knew well was hacked, and they operated it at their own expense. And, of course, the Europeans helped the Americans and the Canadians, and bang, here you go, one fee, all free. Anyway, DirecTV decides to sue the only publication in the United States talking about this, and that was the Satellite Watch News.
Now, DirecTV is owned by General Motors, correct?
Yes, they are.
So tell us something about this lawsuit.
Well, we'll begin kind of at the beginning. There's a lot of things I can't discuss because of certain reasons. But they filed a suit against us. There was many allegations that I was the head kingpin in the hacking arena, and I had nothing to do with this. They sued me for aiding and abetting, publishing information about the hack itself. And so they said I was aiding and abetting the hackers. They tried many things. The attorneys tried so many different things to make this suit a real big to-do. Ultimately, I did a video. I produced Pirate Video 9, and it talked very in-depth about the hack. Even though it was a documentary, there was no step-by-step instructions on how to hack this, no step-by-step instructions how to create source code or any of that stuff. It was just showing that the hack, in fact, was real. It did work. They got me on that. Some of the footage was shot in the United States. So they held that against me. Possession of a card in the United States, an illegal smart card, something that has been hacked. Possession, mere possession, is a federal offense in the United States.
But they got you showing that.
Show and telling, yes.
And that's a crime.
That is a felony or a federal offense in the United States.
For talking about how something works.
Well, having possession of it, and since some of the portions were shown here in the United States, or processed here in the United States, it was a crime just being there holding the card, even though it was not my card, my smart card. The hacks, just holding it, talking about it, was a federal offense.
So what transpired during the lawsuit?
Well, of course, you go through all the depositions and everything, pretty much probably like you're going through at the present time.
Yep.
And it gets nasty, folks. I'm going to tell you something. Emmanuel's in a big lawsuit right now. I was in a big... This is not fun. And it gets really nasty, and the things that transpire, they're brutal. If you folks have never been in a real large lawsuit like this against, corporate America... Believe me, it is your worst nightmare. And what transpired from this lawsuit was I lost the publication because I made a video. They got a $400,000 judgment against me, and it was over. It was over. That day in the courtroom, let me just tell you, go back a little bit here because I kind of get... You know what I'm saying, Emmanuel? You've been there. You kind of get thinking about this, and your blood starts to turn, and you miss high points, and this is a high point of this whole suit.
Mm-hmm.
this lawyer that I was working with out of Seattle, Washington, the one that was prosecuting us, if you will, said, Dan Morgan, this is stealing. For a short time, he looked at me and he stopped and he said, you know, this is the equivalent of molesting children. I reached over the table, grabbed this man by the tie, was about ready to do him completely, and my attorney grabbed me. He said, whoa, pal. He said, sit down. They were going to try to throw me in jail for contempt. This attorney just said prior to that, prior to dunning me like that, he said, if you don't stop publishing this magazine, and the next issue was due to come out like in 2 days, without any advertisers, and we hadn't even come to, you know, a judgment yet or anything like that, he says, I'm going to have federal marshals come to your store and lock you up come tomorrow morning. And he says, I'm going to go over and see the federal prosecutor. This was in depositions, and have this arranged. Can you believe that?
A couple of years ago, I would have said no. Today, yeah, I do believe it.
It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. So all this transpired, all this stuff went on. I mean, I lost my rear. I really did. I gave it the best. I had attorneys. Listen to this. My attorney was a subscriber to my magazine, okay? He was out of New Jersey, very close to you, as a matter of fact. We were going into depots. It was like a week away. This great attorney that I thought was on top. And you know, folks, there's nothing like having an attorney that reads your magazine because, number one, you have to know what you're defending and understand what you're defending before you can defend it. So naturally, I felt very comfortable hiring a subscriber that was an attorney. And I did that. This guy backs out on me a week before we go into depots. Why? Because they want to depose him. And ultimately, we found out that he was more involved in hacking than the people that were supplying the stuff. So I guess I was kind of screwed all the way around in this thing.
So basically, a card that gets you free television can get you thrown in prison and...
Serve for many, many years.
I mean, I can understand if they say, okay, you know, you're watching, you're stealing free TV, you know, pay the a year's worth of what you stole and we'll all be done here.
Yeah.
But you didn't even steal. You just had possession of a card.
Well, you see, he was teaching. He was teaching people. He was explaining the technology. Remember, we've seen this so many times before. We've seen Fiber Optic, Bernie S., Kevin Mitnick, the people who actually don't do any harm but are seen as inspiring others or, God forbid, teaching others how technology works. That's the real threat. Would you say so, Dan?
That's exactly. See, I don't know much about Canada because your co-host there is from Canada. I can tell you this in Canada that...
Wait, who's from Canada? No one's from Canada here.
I thought you had a Canadian there.
No,
I'm from Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Let me tell you this.
I sound Canadian, though,
okay.
Don't I?
We'll talk about Canada just for a split second. First of all, in Canada, DirecTV is not sold in Canada. There is no lawful provider. All of the people that were selling in our magazine were in Canada, in those that are left still are. Okay, so how can you be stealing if there's no lawful provider? In Canada, you can't be. In other words, you can hack all you want over there, as far as I'm concerned. It's legal. No lawful provider, you can't steal it. That's obvious. In the United States, DirecTV is a lawful provider. So however they want to rate that, they can do that. So anyway, let me just tell you what just happened in Canada. Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Is the latest.
Yes.
And it affected many people in the United States because somehow they found out who was buying from them. Anti-piracy efforts build with DirecTV. In its continuing efforts to enact aggressive force against satellite television piracy, DirecTV announced it filed a federal lawsuit against 80 individuals whom it believes trafficked illegal signal theft equipment imported from Canada for sale in the U.S. The imported pirate technology, which included pirate access cards and devices used to reprogram them, enabled those who purchased the pirate devices to unscramble and view DirecTV programming without legal authorization. The federal complaint was filed March 16th in U.S. District Court. Larry Risler, Vice President of Signal Integrity for DirecTV, said, This aggressive action against multiple defendants underscores our steadfast commitment to protect the integrity of our signal. DirecTV believes the 80 defendants purchased the illegal equipment from Reginald Skellion and his wife, Frances, both of Quebec, residents against whom DirecTV won a $19 million federal judgment in January for the illegal exportation of pirate technology and equipment.
This is really getting crazy.
Yeah.
$19 million.
Yes, this is what happened. So you can kind of get an idea of what's going on. In the final closing statement, anyway, of this news article, DirecTV says, "We take piracy seriously. It is a serious crime, and we are becoming much more aggressive in pursuing these individuals who engage in this activity. We are going after them through courts, both civilly and criminally, and of course, we have also stepped up our electronic countermeasure activity."
It's a serious crime.
Yeah.
It's tons of victims. Blood in the streets.
Good thing we're building so many new prisons.
You know, I know you personally, Emmanuel. And I, you know, Bernie S. And I got to tell you something, folks. These are some of the finest folks I've ever met. You don't have to worry about your kids being hurt around them. They're great people.